Hey, this is Chad Brown. Thanks for checking out Chad and Nate on Demand, presented by SCO Mortgage, the home of MySpecialMortgage.com.
Happy 4th of July, Denver. In This Morning for Chad and Nate, here's the Honorable Judge Dan Jacobs.
Collins writes in, Dan, what do you think is the most important offseason move for the Avalanche? My opinion is that Kadri is a must lock up. He is such a playmaker and seems to have really found a home, and he can stay on the ice. I don't know one that you can afford him. It's my understanding this is going to be like, oh, he's going to try and get his last big deal. Right? Like his best contract. And so maybe like 5 or 6 years. And I was listening to another, I think it was maybe it was Matt Smith, but one of the other hosts saying, yeah, that's also probably problematic with that contract as well. Is, you know, the first few years of that contract, yeah, you're probably going to love him. But, you know, a 38-year-old Nazem Kadri, you know, making $8 million a year, probably hard to stomach. And I just don't know that they're going to be able to afford to pay him what they need. I mean, they have to lock up Nathan MacKinnon, right? So he's going to get paid. And they have to, I'm guessing, they probably have to find a better option at goaltender. I'm guessing. Maybe they run it back with Darcy Kemper. As James said, they got away with it. You know, they went cheap at goaltender last year. But and it was problematic in the playoffs. At times, it was just maddening. Like, he played well during the season. He really did. There was only that one hiccup where he kind of, kind of got benched for like a game or two there. But he played well during the season, so I just don't know if goaltenders are weird. It's my understanding that they're kind of like head cases a little bit. And so if it was just in his head, it was just in his head after he got, you know, the stick in the eye. So I think they're probably going to want to try and find a better option than that. Yeah, so... Yeah, somebody says, Dan, Russ hanging out with George Lucas at Wimbledon is a good thing. Remember, George's wife, Melody Hobson, is one of our new owners. George will deliver a 6-word pregame speech before every game. May the force be with you. Go Broncos. Yeah, that's right. Somebody else was texting in as well. Yeah, I'd forgotten that we have a tie now to the Broncos owner situation. With Star Wars, which is kind of cool. I think that's kind of cool there. So, yeah, somebody else has said from Mark in Denver regarding Russell at Wimbledon with George Lucas. Isn't Lucas married to one of the new owners? When the boss calls up and says, hey, I got tickets to Wimbledon, you want to go? The answer is always yes. Building a relationship with the bosses is the same as building relationships with your teammate. Okay, well, I suppose I want to be jealous. If you could be Russell Wilson and go do those cool things, you would go do those cool things. You know, you would. If I could jump in a jet and fly over to Wimbledon right now, I probably would do it. But I can't. So, another texter says, I keep hearing there are no good free agent hockey goaltenders. Kemper is barely average, yet he will command top dollar as a free agent, relegating the Colorado Avalanche to a dollar store value goalie next season. Now, I keep hearing, but he's just not quite ready yet. They actually have a young goaltender in the farm system. And eventually, he'll come up, and you know, I don't know if that'll be next year or not. This one says, maybe Kemper got better during the playoffs as he got some playoff experience. He will be better next year. That's from Gordo. Maybe. So that'll be interesting. It's just they have so much talent on this team. It's you can only – it's a salary cap. So you can only spend so much money. Somebody else says, Dan, I am an oldie but goodie DJ. I love your music. Hey, yeah, Sydney's been doing a great job today. Sydney, you're doing well. Picking up the music there. So far I've enjoyed a lot of it. So, Hackett and Wilson in London, they're forming a bond. All good signs. That's from Zach in Littleton. Yeah, I don't have an issue with it. Dan, in your opinion, which would mean more to the Denver fan base, Rockies World Series or Nuggets Finals champion? Great show and keep up the work. Good work. Oh, well, I would think World Series. This town goes crazy for the Rockies when they're good at all. It's just this town loves baseball, and I don't know, the Nuggets. You know, there was a time we did a poll when the Nuggets were bad. I think they were like even behind the Rapids, like in popularity here in town, the Nuggets were when they were just, you know, losing all the time and they just weren't very good. So I would say a World Series would mean more to us than a NBA title. I could be wrong, but I don't know. It's a good question. Good question out there. All right, so coming up next here, we gotta get our breaks here on track. But coming up next, we will visit with Andrew Mason, our senior writer from DenverFan.com. We'll check in with him next.
Happy 4th of July, Denver. In this morning for Chad and Nate, here's the Honorable Judge Dan Jacobs.
Hotline and welcome to the program, DenverFan.com, our senior Broncos writer, Andrew Mason. Andrew, how are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm doing well. Are you grilling anything on the 4th of July?
Not this year, no. And it's sort of, actually, a lot of 4th of July is like, for example, if the Rockies were playing today, would often be at the game or something like that. Like, it seems like I don't end up being on the grill on the 4th. Like, some years I am, but this year, actually, kind of going back and forth between Wisconsin and Denver, it's not going to happen this year, unfortunately. But what have you got in the smoker today?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure yet. We're probably just going to do some burgers and dogs, something like that, because we travel to my sister's house up in Longmont, so I won't be in my own element, Andrew, so I have to, you know, make do on somebody else's, you know, equipment, so to speak.
You know, speaking of hot dogs, apparently people are having a social media meltdown this morning because the hot dog Nathan's hot dog championship has been bumped off of ESPN by Wimbledon this year.
Oh,
it's
no.
Over, I think on ESPN News, people are going nuts about it.
The outrage.
Yes, can't watch people stuff their faces on the morning of 4th of July like every other year.
Isn't that just disgusting? That, I don't know, man, the way he sits there and dips those hot dogs in water. Is that one of the grossest things you've ever seen?
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, honestly, I don't get the appeal of watching it at all. I know a lot of people dig it, but it just, I mean... It's a hot. I mean, no offense to hot dogs, but it's a hot dog. Like I eat one and I'm good.
Right.
And and to eat it, I need it topped with a lot of stuff. I need it, maybe not with the sport pepper Chicago style, but I need some stuff on there. I need some I do it Southern style with some coleslaw. I need something there. I couldn't eat it plain, let alone how many does he eat? Like 70, hundreds of them?
75.
Oh God.
Yeah, it's just,
oh my gosh. It's awful.
Speaking of controversy, we had some fun on Twitter the other day talking about all the small things. You were kind of in my group, although, you know, you're a Lightning fan, so you're not necessarily an Avs fan, but you were kind of, you know, with me on there. Isn't just kind of a weird phenomenon, that whole song?
It is. I mean, I'll give credit to it for kind of how it happened really organically. Like, it was really just a song that was, you know, being played for DJ, and people just responded to it really well. And so, and it was something that didn't, it grew over time. So I like the fact that it's something that was just manufactured. This is really just something that happened kind of but a little bit of happenstance, a little bit of serendipity. I just wish it had been a better song than that.
Right.
I think that's the thing. It's like, you know, I didn't like the song when it was out. I think it was, you know, 21 years ago or so. It's one of those songs that just never really clicked, never resonated. And like now I'm like, oh gosh, we have to hear it over and over. And the problem is, it's not a good song, and yet it's like it gets stuck in your head. And then when you hear it over and over, you find it kind of, it's burrowed inside. It's like the eel in one of the Star Trek. You're like, get this out of my head. I don't want to hear this in my mind's ear anymore.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Hey, so there's a couple topics we were talking about today. Somebody asked a question. What do you think would mean more, a World Series championship here or an NBA Finals championship? And I said, well, we love baseball in this town. This town loves baseball. And I'm getting some pushback on the text line saying, no, speaking of hot dogs and stuff, we don't really like baseball in this town. We just like going to the party deck or going and sitting outside and eating. I think that's a little unfair. This is a pretty good baseball town, isn't it?
It is. And you know what? I think back to just what happened around here with Rocktober in 07. I mean, you and I have been battering around Denver for, you know, better part of 20 years or so. So we've seen a lot of things happen. I haven't seen anything, and this includes even like the Broncos runs, that was quite as engrossing and captivating as Rocktober, and how this town just came, how the town came alive for it in a really profound way. I think part of it was the unexpected nature of it, but I think another part of it was just there is a baseball, maybe not like St. Louis, but there's a baseball town waiting to get out here. It exists. I mean, you go back to the early days of the Rockies when they had, you know, several years of sellouts in the Blake Street Bombers days. It endured through about 2000, 2001 or so. And you saw, you see it come out and burst. I think there's an embrace of this team that I think people are waiting to have, but because they've been irrelevant for so long and because of the management issues from the top down, I think people have kind of, their expectations for the Rockies as an organization are non-existent. It really is just, okay, let's go out, go to the rooftop, go have a really nice night, nice time on a lovely Colorado evening. Like, we get so many lovely summer evenings around here. Enjoy a Rocky dog and everything else.
Yeah.
I think that's where we are as a baseball town right now, unfortunately, but I know a baseball town is there here in Denver.
Speaking of having a good time and enjoying oneself, Russell Wilson was talking to James Merrillat. I guess he was getting on his bacon a little bit about, you know, it could be an issue. The fact that Russell is, you know, kind of such a big deal, so to speak, and he's always jet sitting around, and he's over in Wimbledon right now hanging out with George Lucas and things of that nature. Could that ever be a problem in the locker room, you know, especially if they struggle, or is it just Russ is going to be Russ.
You know, if they struggle, yes, you could see some problems developing, but I don't think they're going to be because he is out and about on the downtime right now, especially when you're talking about somebody who in a couple of weeks, he's going to have a bunch of those guys out there in San Diego at his place getting extra work in. And when those same guys got in extra work back in March. And the thing is, the players see the work that he's putting in on a day-to-day basis when they're supposed to be there, right? I mean, the fact that he's jet-setting, I mean, I think there's obviously some bit of envy for the resources he has at his disposal because he's played in the NFL for 10 years and has had a couple of contracts and all that. But it's not like he's not putting in the work that you have to put in and beyond. I mean, he's actually one of the reasons why guys are probably putting in more work this off season than they have over the years. So, I think if they hit a moment where there's some frustration, I don't think it's going to be frustration with Russ. I think there are going to be other factors involved. This, I think, is kind of pivotal because most guys, they're all enjoying themselves in some way right now. We're just seeing it with Russ out there on social media, but you know, guys are going all around. They're having a good around the country. They're having a good time in their own way. It's okay.
So we're only about 3 weeks away from training camp. Are you going to be able to get some downtime there, Andrew?
Well, I'm actually kind of in the middle of a little bit of it. My daughter had her birthday. Her birthday is around the 4th of July. So we were, we went to the Gaylord out here with a couple of her friends and had a couple of pool days here. We're down to the pool right now. This is kind of the quote. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying myself. Everyone whose lives are tied to the football calendar, they're enjoying themselves in some way right now, hopefully. And I think that's okay. That's because you're going to be going pedal to the metal here in a few weeks. I mean, I've got no problem with Russ spanning the globe. I mean, go back to Memorial Day weekend. He's in Cannes. He's at the Monaco Grand Prix. But you know what? Tuesday morning after the holiday weekend, he's right there in the morning with his teammates. So I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. Somebody's saying he also has his personal QB coach there in London. He's working.
Yeah, exactly. He was getting it. Yeah, I think they put out some film. He was getting some on-field reps. He's putting in the time. I think the interesting thing that is going to happen in Denver. In Seattle, it was kind of a different dynamic because, you know, there were reports and rumblings that there was resentment at times that, you know, that he didn't necessarily click with guys, like guys with the Legion of Boom back in the early to mid 2010s. Well, most of those guys, they were there when he got there. So he comes in. It's a different dynamic with a younger quarterback and some older seasoned pros and how they received him. This dynamic, it's more like when Peyton Manning came into the Broncos. He is the veteran. He's probably, he's you know, up close to a decade older than a lot of the guys that are around him, and they regard him differently. Teammate, leader, but there is much more of a kind of looking up to Russell Wilson, I think, than existed at times in Seattle. And so that, I think, is also going to affect the dynamic. He's not expected to be one of the guys. He's expected to be the guy who's guiding them and leading them.
All right, Andrew Mason from DenverFan.com. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Dan. Have a great show. Have a great day. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, talk to you later. Have fun at the pool. All right. Okay, you guys want to react to Andrew Mason? Coming up next, your chance here on The Dan Jacobs Show.
In this morning for Chad and Nate, here's the Honorable Judge Dan Jacobs.
Well, bless my soul, but what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, my hands are shaking.
All right.
And my knees are weak.
Thank
I
you,
can't
dear.
Seem to stand on my own.
Mason.
Who
Yeah, it's interesting the conversation we're having now about baseball. We got to the text line. It says, people had been wanting baseball here for years. We were so excited to get baseball here. We just hate the owners of the Rockies. That said, go Nuggets, Denver native. Yeah, but I mean, it was amazing. Anybody that was around when the Rockies were brand new, the appetite for, you know, I mean, it was just electric in this city. I mean, it was crazy. The story, though, that is amazing to me, I guess people just didn't know, right? But, like, we didn't have, like, none of our millionaires around here, like the Coors family, none of them, the Anschutz, none of them really wanted to pay for the baseball team. And I think that the initial franchise fee was like $100 million. Like, that's what it was going to cost to own a baseball team. And nobody wanted to do it. So there was actually this guy. Well, he's still alive. He lives down in Florida. His name is Mickey Monis. But there is these two guys basically from Ohio that came in, and turns out that he was a crook. The Mickey Monis guy was a crook. You know, the Monforts and Jerry McMorris and those guys, they had to come in and kind of save the whole deal. But it was weird to me that, yeah, the Coors, for example, they never jumped in. They said, well, you know, however much money they put up, they said, we'll put up to always have the in perpetuity, the right to purchase the naming rights to Coors Field. Now, they don't, they still have to pay for those naming rights, but they always have that option forever. I was like, why didn't Coors just buy the team? Which was kind of a, you know, weird to me that they didn't do that. Like, they had all the money. I mean, they had plenty of money. They could have done it because two out of the three owners went broke. There was another guy, I can't remember his name, but he went broke. And there was Jerry McMorris. He went broke, bankrupt. And so it was amazing to me. They made their money, and they made their money back almost immediately as far as, you know, the investment in the team. Because, yeah, we had, you know, we're playing at a baseball stadium or a football stadium. There was 80,000 people a night going to baseball games. So, but, you know, they still draw a tremendous amount. Like, they're always, I'm sure, top 10 in attendance year after year after year. So here's another out on the text line. It says, this is a state that, excuse me, that worships orange and blue. It is Broncos country. For Andrew to even talk about the Rockies during anything close that Rocktober run, what the Broncos have accomplished, or in the statement in the city, is a farce. Wait until this wall comes around and the Broncos are good again, and the orange and blue, you will see we do not care about the Rockies. And I have been here since 1985. The Rockies are a joke. That's from Michael and Thornton. And the vitriol for the old for the Rockies. I don't know. So some other texts are getting back to, why is everyone hating on Kemper? He got Colorado the first place and the cup. Yeah, well, it was just maddening watching Darcy Kemper. Like, there were so many games where you're like, we're not going to win the cup. No, but they did. As James says, they got away with it. But yeah, like, it was like, it was a real possibility that the Avs might not win the cup with all that talent because of goaltending. There were certain times, and the problem with Kemper is the softness of the goals. And actually, Sandy Clough does a good stat where, you know, these goals is about the, you know, the goals that you're not supposed to allow. Well, that seems like those are always what Kemper was doing. was letting in these other goals. You know, these goals that it just never, he never seemed to be like making the tough saves. So, yeah, it was, it'll be interesting to see what the Avalanche do in net. Because, again, you can't pay everyone. And you got to lock up the core. I'd love to see him bring Nazem Kadri back, but I just don't think it's feasible. Yeah, another text says, seriously, Dan, this town doesn't love baseball. This town loves going to Coors Field, sitting outside, drinking beer while socializing at the party deck. Go to a game when the Red Sox or Cardinals are in town and tell me how much Denver loves baseball. Yeah, you know, I've said that before. That's kind of, you know, I kind of tease. I say, well, you know, you feel like you're doing something productive, like hiking or camping or something, you know, because you're outside. But you're really just, you know, sitting there eating nachos, pretzels. This texter says, I've never been to Coors Field. The last time I went to a Rockies game was at the Old Mile High because they stink. All right, well. Another texter says, hey, Dan, how about signing Fleury? Well, Fleury's kind of on the way out, man. Fleury's, one, I mean, you know, Fleury wants to get paid, and then two, he's getting old. He's getting old. Another texter says, hey, we can win again with him and Frankie. So there you go. Hey, Dan, any chance of the Waltons buying the Rockies? Thanks from Anthony and Greeley. Well, the problem now is McGregor Square. Now that, because it used to be that the Monforts, you know, didn't have money. Now I'm sure, you know, that I have more money than they'll ever need now because they got rich off McGregor Square. So there is absolutely, I don't even bother anymore. I don't even bother wasting any mental energy thinking about it because the Rockies will never be sold. It's just not going to happen. Not in my lifetime anyway. The Monforts, I've said they want to pass this thing on forever. Good for them. But the only leverage we used to have was that the Monforts didn't have any money. And so if you guys boycotted, stopped showing up the games, you can make them feel the heat. You can make them feel the leverage. But now I'm assuming they just got so filthy rich off McGregor Square that I just don't see how you can influence them at all. Ever again. So that ship has sailed. The days of being able to influence anything that goes on down there are over. So, all right. So I'll take a quick time out, get to more of your text here on the Dan Jacobs Show on a 4th of July holiday here on the Fan.
In this morning for Chad and Nate, here's the Honorable Judge Dan Jacobs.
Day and night, I toss and turn, I keep stressing my mind. I look for peace, but see, I don't attain. What I need for keys, this silly game.
I don't know about this one.
Play. Now look at this.
But you're never doing a good job today. What's that? Oh, okay, yeah. That's for the kids. Rockies season ticket holders here since 1993 and a fan of all sports teams, four sports teams, as well as the Rapids. Denver is a great baseball town. They just now have an inferior product. They just know an inferior product when they see one. Rocks win, those seats are full. It's on Dick Monfort. 2007 is a great example. I saw signs that a Broncos game that year, and I say that Denver is a Rockies town. Broncos crossed out. Yeah, they love, baseball fans love them some Rockies. And some, you know, somebody else was saying, hey, you know, owners don't want to win. They just want to make as much coin as possible. I think Montford would win, you know, would like to win. They're just, it's a combination of things here. One, I don't think you can win here. I don't think it can be done. Not over the long run. It's just, you know, you might have a successful season or two, but you just can't do you can't find consistent pitching here. And, you know, the late, great Les Shapiro eventually brought it up, and I think Jim Armstrong had brought this up too. You got a pretty good sample size now. You got 30 years. And they've just not been able to do it with the type of consistency you'd like to have. You know, they've jumped up here and there. You know, they've been to the playoffs a few times. But I just can't see them winning a World Series. Nuggets could win a championship next year. We were talking about that on Saturday. They think, you know, I was talking about it with Zach Bye and James Merlot as well. They think they have a new identity. They are being remade. They're going to play, you know, they got rid of Will Barton. They're going to be more defensive-minded. Now, I believe that when I see it. Because they've been talking about Michael Malone being a defensive coach forever. And I just have never seen them be committed to defense at all under Michael Malone, ever. But yeah, they can win a championship. Get the core back next year. In fact, Chad Andrus has an article on DenverFan.com talking about the Nuggets right now. With the Rockies, you know, somebody texts in here, says, I wonder when Chris Bryant will hit his first home run this season. They make you do things that just sometimes you scratch your heads. Like, what is going on? And they were completely wiped out by COVID. So they do the whole Nolan Arenado thing. They trade the best player in team history and, you know, have to kick in a bunch of money to do that. And then just throw stupid money at Chris Bryant. It just leaves you shaking your heads. So it's not that, you know, I don't think Dick Montfort doesn't want to win. I think he does want to win. But he's incompetent, and it's hard to win here. But he's not the worst guy in the world. Like, some people just make him out to be, you know, a villain. He's just incompetent. That's all. So how you guys doing out there? Are you growing? You guys kind of lost a little steam on there. You're making some brisket. You're making brats, dogs. Yeah, I was going to ESPN.com right now during the break, and I guess they're putting the Nathan's hot dog contest on the website. That's probably where it belongs. Yeah, I was talking to Andrew Mason about that. Just gross. That whole thing. You know, because they take those hot dogs and he's dipping them in pitchers of water. It's just disgusting. So I have no need for that Nathan's hot dogs contest. I know it's part of the fabric of America and all that stuff. Now this is interesting. It says, look, Dan, Oakland A's wanted to move their baseball team here. Owner named Mamie Davis. This is from Michael from Thornton. I don't know. Like, I never heard of the A's ever wanting to move here. You know, I don't get about Oakland. They always say Oakland's like a small market. It's like, yeah, right next to San Francisco. It's in California. Somebody says, any corn on the cob recommendations for cookout? Well, I hate to say it, but, well, I actually just put straight corn on the cob on the grill with a little butter. It's fine. But, you know, they have that street corn now where, you know, they put mayo and that cheese on there. That's really good. Not healthy. But that's kind of the new thing now. Now people are putting stuff in there. Yep, looks like somebody sending in some beef. Nice picture of some beef. So that's good. That's good. So, yeah, keep them coming. Yeah, I said we'll probably just do some hamburgers and stuff because, you know, we go up to, well, it's the first time we've done it since COVID. So it's been a few years, but, you know, our family hadn't been getting together a ton, but it's like we're back. So we'll be going up to my sister's house up in Longmont to watch the fireworks. So, you know, we just kind of, you know, bring some food and throw it on the grill and that'll be that. Sorry, Dan, but tell the Rockies owner to give his profits away and he will find wins real fast. Well, they've tried. Remember right before COVID? They had spent like $100 million on their bullpen. They just aren't any good. They're not competent. That's their problem. Not that they don't care. Dick Monfort's an incredibly loyal person, by the way. I mean, he's loyal to a fault. He keeps people hanging around there. You know, there was one time a coach wanted to quit, and they're like, oh, no, we'll make you do something else. We'll just give you a different job. I mean, it's unreal. So he seems like a nice guy. He's a loyal guy. He's loyal to a fault. It's interesting around here. You know, we have Stan Kroenke. I was giving James a hard time. Well, Stan's three champions. We were talking on Saturday. Stan's got three championships. This year, but we have not seemed to really like our owners here in this town. So the Monforts don't seem very well liked. Stan Kroenke is, you know, a villain just because he won't put the teams on TV. Like, get the teams back on TV. So he seems, you know, kind of like a villain. Seems to be kind of miserly, you know, that type of thing. Always about the dollar with Stan Kroenke. So we'll see now. We have the new Walmart Air owners of the Broncos. We'll see. See about that. Says, well, Rod texts in and says, Dan, baseball is a throwback to a slower pace in life. If you're not intrigued by pitcher versus hitter duel before any play actual happens, you probably prefer the faster pace of other sports. Do agree that October was special and did galvanize community. As for goaltending, there was Waugh, then a little bit of a drop-off to Varlamov, and then every other netminder since then we've tried it out there. I think the perspective changes when you see elite goaltending and impatience sets in, kind of like seeing elite quarterback play. We lose our tolerance for mediocrity. That's Weldco Rod. Well, thanks for being involved in the program. Yeah, I gave up on baseball when they canceled the World Series in, I think, 1994. When they just strict greed canceled the World Series, I said, yeah, you know, I have better things to do with my life, and haven't been back since. All right, one more hour to go. It's the Dan Jacobs Show here on a 4th of July holiday on The Fan.
Hey, this is Nate Jackson. Thanks for checking out Chad and Nate on Demand, presented by SCL Mortgage, the home of MySpecialMortgage.com.